From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. The Taliban is claiming responsibility today for the disappearance of two members of the U.S. Navy. A Taliban spokesman claims that one has been killed in Afghanistan and the other captured. The two went missing on Friday when, as NPR's Quill Lawrence reports from Kabul, they drove into an insurgent-held area.
Logar province is southeast of Kabul, and it's just outside. It's right on the doorstep of the capital, and it's one of the areas where the Taliban have taken control that is most alarming to people in the capital because it makes them feel constricted, as though the insurgents are closing in on the city. This is an area where residents of the capital used to feel free to go and have picnics only a couple of years ago, and now it's considered hostile territory. We're not really sure how someone could have ended up there. It's unlikely that two soldiers would have been there alone on an official mission.
NPR's Quill Lawrence in Kabul. Officials in Pakistan say five suspected militants have been killed in the second drone strike in as many days. Intelligence officials say four missiles also wounded four other people. A U.S. nuclear-powered warship is leading the military exercises off the Korean Peninsula today. The war games involve about 8,000 U.S. and South Korean troops, 20 ships, and 200 aircraft. The BBC's John Sudworth is on board the USS George Washington.
The USS George Washington, one of the world's biggest warships, is now in the Sea of Japan, surrounded by other warships from both the United States and South Korea, visible on all sides. This is a show of strength intended to send a message to North Korea. It appears to be working. The isolated state has responded angrily in its trademark colorful language, denying it had anything to do with the sinking of a South Korean warship back in March, and threatening what it calls a retaliatory sacred war.
The BBC's John Sudworth reporting. Ships are heading back to the site of BP's blown-out well in the Gulf of Mexico today. They had been evacuated as a precaution in advance of Tropical Storm Bonnie, but as NPR's Carrie Kahn reports from New Orleans, the storm has fizzled out.
Tropical Storm Bonnie weakened to a depression as it crossed the oil spill site Saturday morning. The winds and waves didn't cause any damage, and ships monitoring the real-time video images of the ruptured well rode out the storm in place, according to retired Admiral Thad Allen. Allen says procedures to permanently stop the flow of oil may restart in 5 to 7 days. Jane Lipchenko of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says the weak storm may even help cleanup efforts.
It's expected to break tar patches and tar mats into smaller tar balls, which means faster weathering and faster natural biodegradation.
But Lipchenko conceded that some coastlines along the Gulf may see an increase in oil depending on wind and wave conditions. Carrie Kahn, NPR News, New Orleans.
And in Washington, this is NPR News. Residents in Illinois and Iowa are surveying damage from this weekend's storms. More than 7 inches of rain fell in Chicago yesterday. David Ramos is an emergency official in Cook County.
It was really horrible. We even had the Interstate 290 expressway shut down for a couple hours due to heavy flooding. Traffic had to be rerouted off the interstates and into the local communities, which of course made it even more difficult for motorists to travel.
Chicago's western suburbs were among the hardest hit. In Iowa, the rains punched a hole in an earthen dam, sending water into a small town downstream. In the east, it's the heat that's been troubling. Temperatures have been topping 100 degrees in parts of the mid-Atlantic. Rebels in eastern Congo have taken an Indian pilot hostage after attacking a plane on a remote airstrip. NPR's Fabio Quist-Arkton reports that the incident offers evidence of the continuing conflict that's been simmering in the area.
The Congolese army, mining officials, and the director of the airline company involved all confirmed that an Indian pilot had been seized. The army reported $60,000 was stolen in cash and the plane looted. The military said Rwandan rebels operating in eastern Congo were to blame for the attack in Walikale. The airline said a Russian co-pilot panicked and escaped and flew the plane back to Goma, the provincial capital of volatile North Kivu, 100 miles away. Walikale airstrip, where the Indian pilot was abducted, is regularly used to export tons of cassiterite. This lucrative tin ore, mined deep in the jungle, is partly blamed for funding marauding militia groups in the deadly conflict in eastern Congo. Ofebia Quistarkton, NPR News, Johannesburg.
I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington.